guys, and welcome back to another episode of Listen to Less. Today, we have a special guest and friend, Albany. She is here to talk about her experience. Just basically, we're going to talk about digestive problems, hormone problems, acne, basically what it's like to live with poor gut health, hormonal imbalances, and what it's like to go through a healing journey, because it can be long, it can be treacherous, it can be a lot of things that aren't very pleasant. So we're going to talk about that just to give you some insight on what it's like. And so you know that, and also know that you're not alone. So welcome.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here. Thank you for having me on this episode on a topic that's very close to my heart, very like lived through.
Yeah. We were just before we hit record, we've been talking about this for like 30 minutes already, just about experiences with gut health and what it's like and the pains and whatnot. So before we jump into like your full story, just so people know, especially because people probably want to be able to like relate, can you tell us what were the initial symptoms that you had or things that you struggled with along the way of your gut hormone healing journey? I know neither of us are fully, you're never done healing, right? But like in the beginning, that kind of prompted you like, hey, this isn't normal. Maybe I should get some help here.
Yeah. So I would say the number one thing for me was weight loss resistance for me. That was like the first indicator, because we'll talk about my story a little bit deeper, but I am just somebody that's active. The lifestyle that I live is I am moving. I love working out. I love training. I was a college athlete turned bodybuilder. You know, we'll talk about that for a little bit, but college athlete is kind of what I like to label is how I've been. And there was a point in time for almost 3 years that the scale did not move 0.2 pounds. I could not lose weight to save my life. Nothing was working. Then I would say the next couple symptoms would be acne. And I was never super acne prone, but when I couldn't lose weight, my face started to flare up pretty, like once it started, it was kind of starting to happen pretty intensely. And then I would say my body was so inflamed. And then that just led to poor digestion. So those I think would be the top three, four symptoms that I initially was like, whoa, something is going on, something is happening, because losing weight was never an issue for me when I was going through the phase the first couple times. And when we were on that 2-ish year, I mean, my body comp changed a little bit, but when it wasn't moving, I was like, something's not right.
Yeah. Was that like during your bodybuilding?
Yep. Okay. It was after my college athlete days. I did a bodybuilding show, which was not the best decision of my life, but we did it. And coming out of post show, I rebounded pretty bad with weight and with skin and with gut health and just hormones, everything in general. And after bodybuilding, I tried to do another show for about a whole year and I couldn't lose weight. I couldn't lose weight at all. I couldn't do anything. My body was just straight up pissed off at me and not responding at all.
Yeah. Oh, bodybuilding's tough. Bodybuilding is tough. It is so tough on your body.
Yeah. I wish I would have known that before going into it. I just didn't know. You know, I kind of went into it blindly. Not a lot of information, just a college girl with a random little dream, and it happened, you know.
Knowing everything you know now, if you could go back, would you have still done bodybuilding for that experience or no?
Absolutely not.
No?
Absolutely not. No, I would, because, and I want to talk about this a little bit, as far as like gut health and how different types of things can affect that. But before then, as a college athlete, like I said, and I had a terrible injury. I had a terrible lower back injury. And that caused me, they were throwing medicine and I was going under procedures all the time. And during that phase as well, my body was so compromised. I was so inflamed and I gained weight even more during that time. So after I was kind of training, my body was regulated a little bit. I was able to lose that weight and my body was actually feeling safe and I was actually eating to support my body. And then the bodybuilding world came in and kind of flushed all of that out. So if I would have known what it was going to do to my body, my gut health, my hormones, literally just everything, I definitely would have not done it. And so that's why I like to advocate for a lot of people, just know your body and know what you're doing to your body.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, because that can be really extreme. I feel like that's such a college girl thing too. Like I did Olympic lifting, but I definitely considered bodybuilding. And yeah. I feel like that was that's such a an ex-athlete thing to do, right?
Oh, for sure.
Because it's you lose your sport, you can't compete anymore. So how can you keep that competitive edge, that competition piece in your life? And I feel like it's such a seamless transition to go into some sort of bodybuilding right after you're done with whether it's high school sports or college sports.
For sure. It was like I lost this, and when I had got hurt, it was 2 weeks before my senior night. So I had lost pretty much a really big time of kind of putting out. And I was like, and then everybody was telling me, why would you want to do that? You shouldn't do that. And I was like, okay, bet. I'm gonna do it. And that was even more persuading to do that. I mean, we live and we learn, but if you're listening to this and you really want to support your gut, I promise you the aftermath of it is not the best time.
So when you were going through all of that and all of those symptoms kind of started happening for you, what was your next step? Who did you go to first? Did you, cause I know more of your story of that you've worked with several functional type of practitioners at that time. Who did you go to first for help?
At that time I had a bodybuilding coach, right? And I was like, this is it. I need time. This isn't for me right now. I'm done with this. I just need to focus on myself. And at that point, I was so frustrated because nothing was working. And I was in bodybuilding grind mode, right? So tracking every ounce, working out like crazy, intense. And I was mad. I'm like, I have to figure out what's going on with my body. So I actually started diving into a lot more of the holistic things, the hormones, the inflammatory ingredients, making sure that I wasn't eating crazy filler ingredients. And so that was the next step for me, is I felt like nobody was really telling me about micros. They were just focusing on these specific numbers because that was what was in the bodybuilding world. And so I was like, I have to figure out my body, and I'm tired of feeling inflamed and gaining weight when I'm not trying to do that. So the next step for me was I dove in immediately and started just learning about food and learning about what food my body actually needs, and started removing inflammatory ingredients pretty rapidly as I started to learn about them.
Okay, cool. I love that. And how old were you when you started going through all of that?
This was in 20, this was 2020, 2021. So,
okay.
My birthday is this week. So I'm 25 and I'm up to 26. So I would have said 20, 22.
Okay. Got it. Well, happy birthday. Happy early birthday.
Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, but that's I feel where my timeline was too. It was once I got to be that age, it was okay, my body is, it's weird because you're still so young, but also your body's not as young as it was when it was 18, 19. So that's when a lot of these things really start to pop up for people, I think, is that post-college, you've treated your body a certain way, whether it was for you, athletics, intensity, right? And then for other people, I mean, I know myself, I was trying to diet crazy, but also just to look a certain way, and then also partying really hard. And
same. We're in the phase. Yes.
Yep. So it's my body looked fine and could handle it when I was 18, 19. But as soon as I hit 22, 23, 24, that's when my body was I'm done. I'm done with this. Yeah. I can't handle this anymore.
Uh-huh. Oh, I feel that completely. I was the same. I was the party girl my first 2 to 3 years in college. I would say 2 years. I was there. I was there. We were partying. We were doing all the things. But I think a big part of why my body was going through it was a combination of so many things. Stress from being a college athlete to being a bodybuilder, but also injury. And I think that that's something that a lot of people overlook, is that I was on anti-inflammatories. I was on muscle relaxers. I was getting spinal epidural shots all the time just to be able to play. And I firmly believe that that was catching up to my body. I mean, think about like all the time, and all the Advil, all of the things that were attacking the gut lining and like leaking those things later played a big role. And still to this day in gut health, because of all of the compromises that it was having to flush out. And then obviously the liver. I mean, if you're constantly trying to throw things in the trash, but it's not disposing, then it's going to rot and it's going to feel
That's
heavy.
That's a good analogy.
I actually was listening to somebody talk about that yesterday. I was nerding out at the gym. I'm a podcast listener at the gym. And somebody described it that way. And I was like, I think who was it? I think Emily Morrow. Do you know her?
Yeah.
She was describing it as like your liver, like if you're going to throw things away, what does it do in the trash? And I was like, I've never heard that before. And we overlook that, especially as females.
Yeah, 100%. I think the liver is a huge factor too. And like you said it perfectly, which that's something that I like at first didn't even think of, but it makes sense being on that many medications. And I think that's a big thing where like, I think we're on the same page here, where pharmaceuticals have a time and a place, right?
Yes.
They can be very necessary. Like I'm not going to go to an herbalist if I break my arm, you know, right?
Yes.
Like I believe in pharmaceuticals in Western medication at certain times, but if you look at like in the US, whether it's injury, mental health, or whatever it is, we've become so accustomed to taking a cocktail of medications that all of these medications deplete certain nutrients. They break down your gut lining, AKA leaky gut. You guys have heard of leaky gut. They're putting such a burden on your liver. So yeah, it makes sense when you're on all of these different medications that you're going to have gut issues. You're going to, and then being for you being on so many anti-inflammatories, as soon as you stop that, you're going to have a huge rebound of inflammation and your immune system kicking back in. I'm sure that was crazy.
Yeah, it was very intense, and it was something, but in the moment, I mean, and I feel like that's very common, especially like even today, like when we're not feeling well, everybody wants to feel better right away. So what are we going to do? Like throw a slap on those medication. And I'm not saying that that's bad. I'm just saying like, just be aware of what it's doing. I mean, that's how I found birth control. I mean, shoot, if I would have known what birth control was doing to my body, why would I have stayed on it so long? But little things like that, I feel like have played a big role in the gut. And now knowing things, especially as a female, and we talked about this kind of last week, is I'm not in the phase yet that I'm ready for kids, but I know like in the years coming, I do want that. And so taking care of your gut lining, taking care of just your gut, your healthy, like healthy spores. We're going to say that because it's like a good analogy for people to imagine. Like your gut needs bacteria, good and bad. Like it needs things going on. And if one's depleted, it's not going to benefit your body like it's supposed to. So even just like with hormones, with fertility, I knew that I, even today, needed to make sure that those are still a big role for the years to come when I do want to conceive and things like that. So that was a little off topic, but
no, it was great. Yeah. It was great. I think like antibiotics, that conversation too, you kind of touched on that. Like if you're always taking antibiotics, it kills off some of your good, I don't think people realize that probiotics are what the good beneficial bacteria in your gut are probiotics.
Yes.
So we already have those in us so long as you're feeding them and you're not killing them off. But if you're always taking antibiotics, or you're like, oh, I have a sniffle, so give me an antibiotic, or give me NSAIDs, or give me anti, and give me a cortisone shot, like, you're going to start to kill those things off, which is going to then breed pathogens. Because when your good gut bugs are depleted, it causes a lot of issues with inflammation, even metabolic issues. So insulin resistance, inability to lose weight. There's a certain gut microbe called Akkermansia. It's like almost always depleted on people whenever I do a stool test, and that's associated with metabolic health. So if you have higher blood sugar and higher insulin, I'm gonna take a guess that your Akkermansia levels are probably pretty low.
Yeah.
So just going back to what you said, making sure that you are aware of what you're taking and what you're doing and why are you doing it, instead of just blindly taking things, you know?
Yeah. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but that used to be me. I used to be in college. If we were sick, we got a shot so we could play. Or if we were sick, I wanted the antibiotics so I wouldn't have to be out long.
Mm-hmm.
And until it's kind of eye-opening, like, what that actually is doing. Mm-hmm. So, like, if you're listening to this, like, if you are like that, it's okay, because I was there. And this is like, and I know on your show and on as well as my podcast, it's like, we're doing this together. This is not like a look at me, do this. It's like, no, we've actually been there and we want this for you. So if you're in that phase of like, oh, I do antibiotics, or oh, I'm on something, okay, that's totally fine. But we just want you to know to support your body through it, you know?
Mm-hmm. 100%. So let's jump forward a little bit in your journey.
Okay.
When did you find functional health? You mentioned two people you had worked with. I don't know if you had worked with someone before Lacey, but when did you find functional health, and when were you like, okay, that is the avenue that I want to go down?
Yes. So I've just worked with those two women that I had talked about earlier. When I first found the functional, I was eating healthy. I was paying attention to ingredients. But I knew something was wrong, and I don't know how I found her on Instagram. To this day, I have no idea. But I found her, and she was really speaking to like issues that I was really frustrated with, not being able to lose weight. Acne is so hard, but acne, bloating, just like little things. I just felt like something was off, and I just booked a call with her, you know, because if there's anything you learn as a business owner, it's like, you're not going to get anywhere if you don't take action. So I was like, okay, and she dove in, and you know, the first thing, and I'm going to be transparent, I did not listen and want to listen to what she told me, because she told me, you have got to slow down. Like, you have to slow down. Your adrenals are taxed, your cortisol is whack. Like, you have to stop working out. Like, she's like, no high intensity workouts. And like, at this time, if you guys don't know, like, the lifestyle that I live, like, my significant other is athlete. So we're very active. I work out with him, I train with him. It's kind of just like what we like to do.
Yeah.
And she's like, you have to step back. And I did not listen to her at all.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't listen to her until about 2 or 3 years later. And I hurt my hip. Like, I like tweaked my hip muscle or whatever. And it forced me to settle down, and I dropped weight like crazy. And I was like, wow.
If only I listened to her.
Yeah, exactly. So that's why I have it on my notes to talk about, like, I know me and you both have been through so many health obstacles. And so it sucked that we had to go through it. And like, it sucked that there were so many things that we had to navigate, but now it kind of feels like that was our purpose, because we're able to help you navigate through this. So if you're listening and your coach tells you to chill out, please chill out from the person that doesn't like to chill out.
Yeah, no, that's huge. And I, right now I'm launching my Nourish Girl Summer program.
Yes.
And I showed a before and after of December to like last week. I used to work out a ton like you. And I, this last, since for the last couple of months, I'm working with both a physical therapist for like a lot of like neck tension, back pain, just things that I've like overcompensated and now I'm all crooked. And a dietitian for like functional stuff within my gut. And they're both like, okay, we can't be doing all these like intense, like, cause I, even though it would cause me pain to lift really heavy deadlift, but I'm like, well, I don't want to stop deadlifting because I don't want to get weak. I don't want to stop lifting heavy because I don't want to get weak. And they both were like, you are so inflamed and you also are perpetuating these injuries. So I, the last several months, I get 10,000 steps a day, but I'm doing 3 to 4 workouts a week, but only like half of those workouts, like the first like 40 minutes I'm at the gym, I'm doing mobility. And then maybe 30 minutes is actual strength training. And I haven't lost, but there's only 5 pounds different between those two photos. But the way my clothes fit, the way my face looks, like I've dropped so much inflammation from doing that. So if you're listening, you have two testimonies right now that you may need to slow down and chill out a little bit.
Yes. And I'm like you said, I am not opposed to heavy lifting at all. I think there's a type of place for it. But like for my testimony, I have a lower back injury. I am not able to put any weight on my back. I'm not able to lift like lots of heavy weight, like just being very honest. I went through a whole bodybuilding comp on low weight. I have literally transformed my body without going crazy heavy lifting all the time. You can do it too. I promise you. I promise you, and not put tons of strain on your body. So, moral of the story, just chill out a little bit.
So when you met with her, did you initially do any sort of like functional health testing?
Yes. So we did a GI map, and we also did Dutch tests. We did both of those.
Okay. Do you mind? Oh, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say, do you mind sharing? If not, that's okay. But what like you found, just because I think it would be helpful for people. You've expressed a lot of like your symptoms for people to hear, like what can be found on those type of tests that came up like positive for you.
My cortisol, my Dutch test was crazy.
Yeah.
My cortisol and my adrenals were taxed out pretty much, which to be expected. And then on my GI, the two main things I remember were parasites. Let's see, this was so long ago. I'm trying to remember. I know it was parasites, and I know, let me think on it. Let me think. So I'm kind of blanking right now.
Well, those are two good ones. So what did you, besides like chilling out on your workouts and whatnot, what else did you do in that time? Like, you don't have to give like specific supplements, but like, what did your protocol look like?
Yeah. So she definitely put me on like making sure, now I wish I would have looked at them now because I feel like there was so much data, but I didn't look at them. But she did a lot of like more of the fermented food than making sure, like, same thing with like rice and potatoes. It would be like, she was like, you can have those are so great for you, but to make them easily more digestible to your body, cook them, put them in the refrigerator, and then eat them the next day. I was like, this is so random. Like, what the heck?
The resistant starch. Yeah.
Yes. And so we were taking out all of that kind of stuff. And then just like a pretty, not intense, but more supplements that were going to support. I know it was so much gut support. That is what I do know. I can't remember the exact markers of what was on.
That's okay.
The GI, but I know for sure there was a parasite because me being back then, I did an antibiotic because it was an intense one. And now I just reordered a GI map. So we'll keep you updated with that. But if I do have more showing up, I'll definitely be going the herb route.
Herb route.
Yeah.
Some of those parasites can be difficult to get out.
Yeah. Let's talk about that, because that is something that I had on my my list to talk about, because parasites are a hot topic on
social
media. And why I had one of my, like, my older sister, love her, but she texted me. She's like, I saw this on TikTok. Like, it's supposed to get your parasites out. Like, what do you think? I'm like, I literally, in my head, I'm like, this is what I told her. I was like, it might help with parasites. Yes, it might. But if your pathways are not open, and you are taking these anti-parasitic herbs or pills or whatever you want to call it, where do you think those parasites are going to go? Like, they're just going to die. Your symptoms are going to get worse, and then they'll probably double the amount of intensity with your symptoms, even come back. If you have, if they have nowhere to go, you have to make sure that those pathways are open, and that doesn't happen in 1 week.
So just recently a friend of mine texted me, and she was like, what are your thoughts on parasite cleanses? And I was like, oh boy.
Yeah.
I was like, do you have time? Do you have time? Because here comes a very long voice memo.
Yeah.
And she had saw something on TikTok that was like, and I remember a couple, maybe it was a year or two ago, the papaya seed trend. Did you see that?
I don't know.
Everyone was eating papaya seeds to get rid of parasites.
Oh, I saw the drops.
Okay, the drop. What is that, like Paragard?
It was some like that. It was there was it was okay. You know, somebody found one little drop, and then it was,
yeah. And here's the thing. I'm gonna get on my soapbox. So here's the thing with parasites is, just like you said, you cannot just start taking a killer herb without opening your detox pathways. What I mean by that, what we both mean by that, is if you're not pooping regularly, don't detox anything yet. You need to be pooping every day, because that's the main pathway that you're going to get rid of these things. And you also need to make sure that your kidneys are in good function and your liver is in good function, so that when you do kill these things off, they release toxins. And if your liver is not up to par, like going back to the trash analogy, if your trash is loaded with rot and you haven't taken the trash out in a while, like, your liver is going to struggle. So you're going to feel horrible when you do this, and it might not actually get anything out of your system. You might then just be backed up with these extra toxins. There's also something called biofilm. I like to give this analogy of a swamp. When you think of like the top layer of a swamp, it's got all that moss and like green stuff on top, so you can't really see what's beneath it. That's what biofilm is like in your intestines. So it, in these pathogens like fungus or parasites or bacteria, they create it. They build it as a shield for themselves. So if you don't know how to get rid of biofilm before you start trying to detox parasites or whatever it is, then the herbs you take might not even work. And you might just spend money for nothing to happen. So it's very important that you go through like these three phase protocols where you're spending time on biofilm, detox pathways, stool, et cetera, and then go into killing it. And then also, you're probably going to need more than just one.
Oh, for sure. It is not that, and that's something that I want you to know too. Like, everybody has parasites, right? It just, everybody does. If you're living, if you're breathing, you have parasites. But the glorified parasite cleanses, it is not fun. It's not something that is like, oh, I just passed a bit. No, like, it's not fun. Not the most exciting thing.
Well, it's not. I think people are like, get excited, and they're like, oh, I'm going to see all these worms. Like, it's actually kind of rare to see them.
Yep.
A lot of times they're microscopic, so you don't even see them. You just have very uncomfortable bowel movements.
Yeah.
Did you do any, I know you worked with Julie, did you do any out of the norm, if you feel comfortable saying, things to pass these?
I was on a pretty intense, when I was on the parasite cleanse, it took me a second to get into the parasite cleanse. But when I tell you, I was on the stair cyclades and I felt like I was like going through it. It was intense. But as far as anything wonky, I don't think so, be only because it took me so long. Like, we did not rush it. And with the paracyclines, I remember one day I was like, I don't know if I'm like, because in my head, I was just like, okay, I was so tired. Obviously, things were rocking in me. I was so tired. And I remember one day being like, am I pregnant? What is going on with me? And it was obviously not. It was just the cleanse working, but not anything super crazy. But I'm like all for the woo-woo. So it's, I wouldn't have been opposed, I don't think. What about you? Have you done anything
Oh
crazy?
yeah, I've done several coffee enemas in my day.
Okay, what are your thoughts? I need to hear.
So I actually learned about them through Julie. We'll have to send her this episode. Talking about her so much. Love Julie. She's the one that kind of brought them into my world. And then basically they can be used for helpful detox because the way that the coffee goes up through your bile ducts, it can help to produce mass amounts of glutathione, which is your body's like master antioxidant, and your liver uses excessive amounts. So when you can produce more glutathione, it helps your liver with detox capabilities. So we did that during my parasite cleanse. I never saw any, and none parasites never showed up on my GI map. However, I had certain blood markers that were indicative right after I came back from Mexico. So I like these blood markers in the immune panel, they were normal. I went to Mexico and then I got like follow-up labs to work on hormones 6 months later, and those specific markers that tend to correlate with parasitic infections were really high. And I didn't do anything about parasites at that time. And then I got another follow-up, like I was doing like 6 month intervals with serum labs, and they were still really high. So then I was like, Julie, I think I need help with parasites. So we did it then. That was fun. I've also done a gallbladder flush. That's an interesting journey as well. That's you're drinking like this specific mixture that tastes like toxic fumes. And that was interesting, but I did pass gallstones. I've since had, I will have clients do both of these things under like supervision. I'm not giving specific details because I don't want anyone to just do this on their own. But I've had clients, some with parasites that have, or with SIBO, that have passed upwards of 50 to 60 stones. It's pretty crazy.
That is crazy. Female bodies are amazing. I wish I could just shout that from the rooftops.
I know.
But if you also, you're so capable of, like, if you feel something's off, there's probably something off. You know, a good example of that.
Did you, so aside from parasites, did you have any like hormonal issues going on?
Yes, after I stopped competing. And at one point my DHEA was low. And then one point, I don't know. I should have looked at them. But now, like, after going through many, many protocols, and I know that you can relate to this, is you can support your body so much, and like, you just have to continue to be in tune with your body. Like, the female body changes. We go through different phases. Like, now we're in the phase of like prime time for like kids, right? So like fertility, and like, we have to figure out different things of what's going on and like how your body is changing. But now my estrogen is high and my testosterone is low. So now that was when my blood work came back last week. So now we're just like, okay. So now we just game plan and keep moving through it. But that's where we're at now. But back, I can't remember. It was so long ago. Oh, I'm getting new ones. So if we do another episode, I'll update everybody.
Okay. Something I wanted to touch on too is just telling people that like things can happen. Your healing journey is never over because your life isn't over, right? So you went from having these initial issues in the beginning from certain stress of your injury and then bodybuilding.
Yeah.
Now you're not a collegiate athlete. You're not doing bodybuilding shows, but there's still other stressors that I'm sure running a business, your significant other's job. Like I'm sure there's a lot of things in your life that cause stress in other ways now. So just know that like, as you go through phases of your life, things can get wonky again, right? So it's not like you're going to heal and then you're healed for the rest of your life. And that's where, like you talked about, the ingredients in your food and making sure you're eating enough fiber, making sure you're eating enough food, like getting those foundations and those basics down is so important because that's what's going to help you to minimize the severity of some of these hiccups you might have.
Absolutely. I'm so glad that you said that too, because I feel like basic nutrition is overlooked a lot of the time, a lot of the time. And just coming from personal experience, like you may think you eat healthy, but like track your food. So, you know, tracking doesn't have to be long-term, but you will be so surprised at how wide your intake ranges are or how wide your fat intake, your saturated fats, how low your protein is, how low your micros are even. Just do not overlook the basic concepts of nutrition, because that is where it all starts.
Do you want to, just so if people don't know what you mean by micros?
Okay, so micros are your micronutrients. Your macros are your big macronutrients, which is kind of what we like to describe as like your protein, fat, and carbs.
Mm-hmm.
But your micros, so your micronutrients are everything that makes those up. So your minerals, what is actually in the food, how your food is aiding to your body. Just those little things that actually help your body stay healthy. That is how your body transforms, and that's how your body heals. Those things are so important. It's really the ingredients of what's actually in your food.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that was an okay description.
No, yeah, that was great.
Okay. But those are, in all honesty, I think tracking macros is great and an incredible tool for females that are starting out and learning their food. But micros are how your body transforms. You can't eat your way into perfect macros if the macros are not filled with any type of nutrients.
Mm-hmm.
And that same thing goes for like on any journey that you are. I would rather clients eat whole foods and be a little bit off on their numbers than try to protein pack random Rice Krispie protein filled Pop-Tart things in their diet, you know? Like, I would rather them just eat more sweet potato or like just eat more real food or have a big bowl of fruit than trying to eat the processed stuff, because that is not even aiding in 1 ounce of your micros. That's like the opposite.
Do you want to touch more on that? I think we kind of talked about this on your podcast about like the processed protein stuff and how like if you're in a fitness journey, it can get really easy to fill your macros with things that like are full of protein powders or protein bars, but like how that's different from eating whole foods.
Yeah. So here's what I'm going to say. And this is like, I stand by this. Eating protein pack things, protein bars, protein pops, whatever, the craziness things that are out there right now, they might work at the beginning to help transform your body because you are eating in within a range.
Mm-hmm.
But the long-term effects of what those things are doing to your body, the ingredients, the synthetic ingredients, artificial ingredients, the inflammatory oils, all of those are doing one thing, and they're one, taking up space inside of your body. Your body is trying so hard to digest it, and it's like, what is this? Like, think about, like, I don't know, trying to put like a tire down the same drain. Like, that's how your body is trying to digest all these. It takes time, and it takes a lot of effort, which aids in a lot of inflammation in the body because the body's tired. But those things too also can compromise like what your body actually is feeling from artificial ingredients, artificial flavoring. Like somebody said on a podcast, I am like nerding out on podcasts lately. So
I love it.
Anyways, but they said like your body's smart. Your body knows if it's a fake ingredient versus real. So this kind of goes even down to like syrups, like coffee syrups. Honestly, sugar-free, like it might have a little less sugar, but what is that synthetic ingredient doing to your gut lining? It's probably weakening your gut lining. It's weakening your immune system. It's weakening all of those things. And going back to my first statement is it might work at first to lose weight, to help you lose weight. But once you hit that point of your body sick and tired of trying to do all this hard work, that gut lining weakens, your immune system weakens, weight loss resistance starts happening, inflammation, and then it gets really hard to kind of backtrack.
Yeah. Like you said, it might help you lose weight in the beginning, but then at the cost of your digestive system, which will then cause you to rebound that weight and have a plethora of other issues that you have to work through. And that's not the goal.
That is not it. And that's the other thing I wish I would have known, because that happened to me. You know, that happened to me. That was all of what I ate at the beginning. I mean, I had no idea. I mean, I feel like everybody at our age like that went through their own journey, or us health coaches, like we kind of have went through that phase because we didn't know. And so that is one thing that I like drill. I have given my clients, I have this client portal, and literally one space is like nutrition information. And the whole thing is like inflammatory ingredients. Look at these. This is what will happen. Look at this. And so they have these like markers. So it's not fear, like fear of food or fear around food, because that's not the goal. It's just like knowing food. And I am also a firm believer in sometimes at the beginning, you have to be a little bit strict with yourself to be able to get that balance, if that makes sense. So like, how do you know what balance is if you are, it doesn't matter what you eat, you're just kind of going ham, or like if you haven't been in that little bit of a restrictive of like, okay, let's cut everything out and then slowly add little things here or whatever. So I'll scream that from the rooftops. The ingredients that you're eating matter. Just go for the whole food option. Like, for example, I'm going on a rant, but for example, I'm like not a big coffee person because I do not like all of the crazy ingredients and all of the things coffee shops. Oregano coffee, amazing. But aside from that, I found a coffee shop here in Houston. So if you're here, they make, I met the owner. They make everything in-house, milks,
love that,
syrups. It's all mold-free coffee. And I'm like, okay, it might be a little bit higher in calories, but I would so much rather that, just using that as an example, I would rather my clients know what they're putting into their body and have a little bit more food in their system than go the opposite direction.
100%.
Yeah.
There is this, the whole time you were talking, it was making me think of this video that I saw on social media, but it was like someone had taken a clip from, I think it was a 60 sec or is it 60 seconds or 60 minutes? That show.
Minutes, I think.
60 minutes, this episode. And they had taken like a little camera, and they put it down and someone ate the camera with their food. And so the first video was eating homemade pasta, where the only ingredients, I don't know what you make pasta with. I think wheat, egg. Is it just wheat, egg?
Yeah.
Salt?
I don't know.
Whatever, like a homemade pasta with just pure food ingredients. They ate that with an electrolyte beverage that had no food dyes in it. And the camera went down and it showed like 1 hour later, 2 hours later, 3 hours later. And like by like 2 or 3 hours later, like the food was completely just into like churn and like digestive juices and looked exactly like it's supposed to. And then they had someone eat those ramen packs and blue Gatorade. And the camera followed, and then there was all of this like foam in their stomach. And then it was like 5 or 6 hours later, and there was still full noodles trying to pass through their intestines, and the noodles were blue. So like your body at 5, 6 hours later hadn't even broken down the noodle yet and hadn't broken down the dye, because it's not real food. So your body isn't going to break it down, because it's not your body, your intestines, your digestive juices are supposed to break down carbs, fats, and proteins, not synthetic chemicals.
Yes.
So that was, seeing that, I was like, that is crazy. I wish I would have saved that. That would have been a good like link to put into my client document. Yeah. Like, look at this.
Yeah. Like literally watch this. And I think that's so important for people to know, because I would say 80% of us like have been at one point not knowing that.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's just what the food is accessible to us and what right. we're in our face. And that's not, like I said, that's not your fault. It's not your fault that you don't know, but it is your responsibility to learn and to know your body. If you want your body to improve, if you want to be healthier, if you want to lose weight, like those things are so important. Like the little things, don't overlook the little things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it also goes back to like, I feel like when I was in, I don't remember, maybe in high school, more so college, that's when a lot of the like carb counter or zero sugar or like zero carb foods started coming out. And that's what was promoted all of the time, was all of these like fake foods to have lower calories. So then I thought that's what was healthy. Oh, I'm eating less calories, so therefore I eat healthy.
Yeah. And that's like not the case.
No.
At all. And I wish it, honestly, sometimes I wish it was. We all do.
Right?
I wish it was, but at the same time, it's like, think about how you feel. I don't know about you, but I hate being uncomfortable. I hate feeling awkward in situations. And like, that's just what you're doing to your body. Mm-hmm. Your body's just like trying to navigate it and figure it out. And just like us, when I'm uncomfortable, like I figure out how to get out of that conversation or situation or whatever. But your body is doing that all day, every day with foods that it doesn't know.
Mm-hmm.
You just have to remember things like that.
100%.
Yeah.
So is there, just to kind of wrap this up, what would you say to someone listening that maybe they're at like the beginning stages of what you experienced back in college or right after college? They're starting to notice all of these things, and they're like, I know you're huge on if you feel like something's right, it's probably not right. They have that, but maybe they've been told everything's normal. What piece of advice would you give for them?
Yeah. So I've been through that so many times of just like hearing that, oh, nothing's wrong, you're fine, just eat better or whatever. And I know that that's so hard to hear, and it sucks and it's frustrating, but you are the only person that knows your body. So you have to advocate for yourself. Even if people look at you crazy, or even if you have to go the long route, like you are the only person that knows. And if something is off, something is off. That is not something anybody can tell you is not off.
Mm-hmm.
The first thing that I would do, and I know this is like cliche, but start paying attention to what's in the food you're eating, period. Start paying attention right away. Even like, you will be so surprised, even oatmeal packets, there's probably inflammatory ingredients, artificial flavoring. Mm-hmm. Look at the bars that you're eating. Look at the meat that you're eating. Mm-hmm. What is going into your body? Even drinks, like just that is number one. And start at least for a week, track your food so you can see where your numbers are at. That is going to be the most important thing. I always say, tracking food doesn't have to be long-term, but for you to be successful in like paying attention to your health or knowing where your intake is at, that is step one, ingredients and knowing where your intake is at. Step two, work with somebody that knows what they're doing, or work with somebody that you feel comfortable with.
Mm-hmm.
Because I feel like that's so important too, is that I'll always say that because I've had a coach since college. I've had a health coach, a nutrition coach, exercise coach, whatever. Just because there's days that we know what to do, but that level of accountability. But when you feel comfortable with somebody that you can just like tell them how you feel, like me or you, or like any health coach out there that's like holistic, that's looking at nutrition, if you feel comfortable enough telling them something feels off, like what I need help, what could this be? Get somebody that listens to you and get somebody that believes they can help you and believes that there's a way to help you feel better. But as far as starting things on your own, start with ingredients. Number one, start with your intake and sleep and electrolytes, baby, every day.
Sleep and electrolytes.
Yeah.
I love it. Mic drop.
I know. Though, like, man, there's so many things I could add, but to keep it super short and sweet, those are the first two things that I would say. Because when you have a plan that's for your body and for what you're struggling with, the symptoms will clear up way faster than the trial and error a million times.
Mm-hmm.
Talking from experience. Just if you trust somebody, if you feel safe talking with somebody to guide you that knows what they're talking about, that is like cheat code.
100%.
Yeah.
This has been a great episode. If the people want to follow your journey or see what you're all about, where can they find you?
Yay. They can find me at Albany Ray Fitness on Instagram. You can find me at Albany.Shaper on TikTok. And then I know you'll link the pod, but the Beyond Her Body podcast is where I'm at talking live. And those are the few places. If you guys have any questions or just want more information on anything that we talked about, my inbox is always open. I'm not the coach. I know you're not either. That's like, you have to book a call or you have to just message me. I'm more than happy to help.
100%. I will link the podcast that we did together on your podcast last week. So you guys can all go listen to that. And then they can find the other episodes that we've done too. So thank you so much for being here. This was great. And I'll talk to you guys later.
Bye-bye.